Hello and welcome to All Indians Matter. I am Ashraf Engineer. Did you know that 200 villages in Gadchiroli get cut off from the rest of the country every single monsoon? Disconnected from any medical help, pregnant women are perhaps the worst hit. Often, they have to walk up to 23 kilometers to reach a hospital. Little attention is paid to districts like Gadchiroli and Chandrapur that have large tribal populations. The tribal regions in these districts are mainly underdeveloped, lacking basic facilities like healthcare. There are other issues, lack of roads, medieval menstrual practices, forcible land acquisition, non-payment of health workers, malnutrition. I could go on. So who's fighting for the tribals in these regions?
All Indians Matter.
We have on the show Bodhi Ramteke and Deepak Chatap, both of whom are part of the NGO People's Action Towards Humanity, better known as PATH. Bodhi is a young law student while Deepak is a practicing lawyer. PATH has been working for the past few years in regions like Gadchiroli and Chandrapur to alleviate the problems there. They employ a unique strategy, the use of constitutional tools like public interest litigations and environment interest litigations, because they believe strongly in constitutional values. Their work spans public education and awareness to working with the government and litigation. Welcome to the show, Bodhi and Deepak.
It's our pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, for inviting us in this show.
You're both very welcome. Bodhi, tell us where you're from and describe what it was like growing up there. And Deepak, once Bodhi is done, maybe you can tell us the same.
Sir, I hail from the village Chamorshi, which is a tehsil place in Gadchiroli. So, being resident of such a tribal and Naxal dominated district, I have seen and experienced a multitude of issues firsthand. My parents being actively involved in the social and anti-caste movement, I was raised in an environment that allowed me to understand the problem of marginalized class at an early age. So during this period, I witnessed various protests, public meetings, scatter camps across the district against the caste-based violence, or to mobilize the people to fight for their right, or to educate them about their rights or overall the social system. Now talking about the place where I from, so being the poorest district in the state deprived us of very basic amenities as a dignified life. So for good education or for good medical facilities or for occupation, for job, everyone has to leave the district. Me, despite living in a taluka place, don't have access to proper medical facilities. We either have to go to Chandrapur or Nagpur, which is around 150 to 200 kilometers far from my village. The last village of my district is again 150 to 160 kilometers far. So here we can understand that the people have to travel for such a long distance for basic healthcare facilities, which is their basic right. So growing up in such backward district really affect our representation in every sector. Also, we lack the opportunities as compared to other developed area. So now talking about the education, to study further, I went to Pune and now I am studying law. Before that, up to 12th, I was in Navoday Vidyalaya, which is the only CBSE school in the district till class 12, where the central government provide the residential education to students from backward class and rural areas. So, and it is the only government school in the district to provide such good quality education. But here we can see that the students studying from such reputed institute or a school, many of my friends were not able to pursue higher education like me due to lack of guidance or due to poverty. So the status of an atmosphere of the education is also up to the mark in the district. Finally, the questions may vary from place to place or person to person, but it is the clear fact that everyone in the district has to face problem at every stage in living a dignified life.
Shocking, the numbers, some of the numbers that you said. Deepak, what about you?
Yeah, more or same situation you will see in Chandrapur also. I hail from Chandrapur district of Maharashtra. It has highly dense forest area, Tadoba Andhari Tiger Reserve, which is well known. The main occupation of people is farming. Majority of people belongs to scheduled caste and scheduled tribes. Coming from family of farmer and have witnessed the ugly sights of injustice being meted out to us. Cotton and soybean from my farm had to be sold to the government market committee or centers established by Cotton Corporation of India at lower price than price stipulated by government itself. Many times we couldn't even manage to recover cost break even. Many people renounced farming as it couldn't make two square meals a day. Chandrapur district is a hub of cement and coal industry also. As per air quality index, Chandrapur topped Maharashtra and is ranked 7 in the country in terms of air pollution. Like Gadchiroli, this district also has issue of road connectivity, medical and educational facilities. In last year, I celebrated Independence Day in the village called Ghodankappi, which is situated in Manikgad mountain of Naxal affected Jyoti Tehsil. No villagers have gas connections. We have to walk 2-3 kilometers to reach in that village. No vehicle can reach there. First time flag hoisting ceremony held since independence. And there are hundreds of villages are living isolated life from the entire world. To reach village like Kamlapur, one has to go through Nala. There are lakhs of families in my district. Their annual income is less than 20,000 rupees. That is less than $294. My family took active participation in agitation headed by various former organizations. I started giving speeches in meetings of farmers since childhood. Fortunately, due to support of my family and teachers, I completed my primary and secondary education from my village Lakmapur and village Gadchandur of Chandrapur district. Being inspired from autobiographies of Mahatma Gandhi and Dr. B.R. Ambedkar, I decided to pursue law to echo the voice against exploitation and injustice done to us. I completed law degree on earn and loan basis from prestigious ILS Indian Law Society's Law College, Pune, farmer suicides, rejection of forest rights to tribals, lack of road connectivity, educational and medical and legal facilities are main problems which we are facing in our district.
It's unimaginable, some of the things that you've described, to think that we are in 2021. And we'll talk about each of these issues as we go along. But Bodhi, let me come to you first. Let's talk about Gadchiroli. Tell us about this district, its geography, its demographics, etc. Also, what is the state of public infrastructure there, specifically roads and healthcare?
Okay, sir. So, Gadchiroli was carved out from Chandrapur district in 1982. Gadchiroli is one of the largest in Maharashtra state by land area. Most of the land is covered by forest and hills, and around 76% of the geographical area is covered by forest. So, the district is categorized as one of the tribal and undeveloped district, and some part of district come under the Abujmad region. So, secondly, the Naxalism is highly prevalent in the district, and subsequently it has been highlighted as the part of Red Corridor. There is a continuous conflict between the Naxals and police in the district. Moving further, the percentage of scheduled tribes is around 38 to 40%, and the major communities are Gond, Madia, Kolam and Pardan. And as of scheduled caste, the percentage is 12%. And around 90% of the population in Gadchiroli resides in rural area. And now talking about the occupation, farming is the main occupation, especially of paddy. And as due to large forest cover, there is a production of bamboo, tendu, mahua, which is also a big source of income. Now, majority of the villages are mentioned under the schedule areas, where the immense power is given to the Gram Sabhas, that is the local administrative body. And the Marda and Mendaleka, the villages in Gadchiroli, are the first villages, not in Maharashtra, but in whole country, to secure the community forest right. And now many villages have secured this right and has control over their traditional community forest. This was overall about the district. Now we'll move toward the state of infrastructure. So, district is lacking from very basic infrastructure. The first major issue is of connectivity, that is with respect to roads, electricity, internet and many others. And also it has the issue of healthcare facilities and education also. Gadchiroli is yet to bridge the gap. Now we can see the right to connectivity is the fundamental, right? But villages in Gadchiroli has still deprived it from since independence. Now many villages don't have electricity supply. They don't even seen the light in their home for first time. See, when these basic rights are not guaranteed, it is of no use to talk about mobile network. Majority of the villages in Gadchiroli issues this issue of the with respect to the net connection. Now, during rainy season, sir, many villages got disconnected with rest of the world. As you told earlier, according to the recent SOP of Disaster Management Gadchiroli, more than 200 villages got disconnected for 4 to 5 months. I think the number is even more than mentioned in SOP. So, apart from this, for at least a week, 70 to 80% of villages have to face this issue of disconnection. See, can anyone imagine to live in such isolation for 4 to 5 months? But now in COVID pandemic, people have experienced it. But I think these people are experiencing since many decades. During this time, it is very difficult to get access to medical facilities also. Although the healthcare system is also not good enough. Many people lost their lives and due to disconnection and not getting the medical care on time. So people here are already suffering from poverty, illiteracy and backwardness, are further handicapped with the issues like malnutrition, the childhood mortality, anemia, sickle cell. And to address the issue of this health, the physician to population ratio in Gadchiroli is 1:5,000. Here we can understand the actual...
My God, 1:5,000.
Yes. Now here we can understand the actual situation. Many of the healthcare centers are understaffed. Many of the rural hospitals are not well equipped. They don't have good equipment. Some of the hospitals have the equipments, but they don't have operation theaters. It lacks such skilled staff required for such operation. This was about the healthcare system. Now, there is a lack of communication gap between the tribal population and the doctor as well as the healthcare personnel. So that there are many issues related to health did not get solved. And now, the political interference and unwillingness of the doctors and healthcare personnel is also a major hindrance to it. Now in COVID pandemic, we can see that the infrastructure is also not good enough and not sufficient to overcome or tackle to this system. And the last...
In fact, the lack of infrastructure would have only amplified the distress of the pandemic.
Yes. So the last issue, I personally think that the interference of government in life and culture of tribal. Now the tribal is one of the oppressed class in the Indian social system. Now the PESA Act, the Forest Right Act has empowered the tribals, and under this act the tribal has the authority to control and manage the forest. But now government has sanctioned more than 1,000 hectares of dense forested land for mining, and it was done without the consent of tribals. Now, government is claiming that it will bring the development. So, firstly, I think the forcible interference cannot be called as the development. The development is not just limited to the infrastructural development. I think it is the process of growth, progress and change that take into account the need and of the people at whom it is aimed. So, cutting down of... a forest for construction of a building cannot be the ideal idea of for the tribals.
Absolutely, Bodhi. I think you're completely right. And, you know, you mentioned, Bodhi, the Ambujmad region. So tell me, Bodhi, what happens to the Ambujmad region during the monsoon and how does that affect the tribals? I know you've spoken already a little bit about it, but if you could tell us more. And also, what action did you take to remedy the situation and what was the outcome of it?
Okay, sir. Then I will first I will tell about the Ambujmad and then I will move further. So, sir, Ambujmad is a highly forest area, covers major part of Chhattisgarh region and some part of Gadchiroli. The Ambujmad, Abuj means what you can't understand, and Mad means the hill in local dialect. So this region is geographically isolated and inaccessible, and there is no presence of civil administration. And also it is known as the liberated zone, as it is the hub of Naxalites. It was only in 2009 that government lifted the restriction on entry of common people in that area. So we can imagine the condition of tribal with respect to their fulfillment of constitutional needs. So in rainy season, just to ask that in rainy season, same issue of disconnection arises in whole area. And as I said earlier, they have to face many problems. But here the most affected ones are the pregnant women. As due to lack of health infrastructure in the area, this woman didn't get the basic pre and post pregnancy care. And also they have to face the biggest problem to deliver a baby safely. So I will give some example that there is a village Turemarka. The nearest hospital to that village and the nearby village is about 20 to 23 kilometers far, which is also not good equipped. I think in the month of June or July last year, a 9-month pregnant woman gone into labor. As I have told already that there is no hospital nearby to admit her for delivery and the nearest hospital is 23 kilometers. There is no option that of going to that hospital, which is so far. But the thing is, there is no road in that whole 23 kilometers. And due to rainy season, the small nalas and the river was also overflowed. And hence, it was not possible for any ambulance to go there. Even in the normal days also, the ambulance can't go to that village. That lady, that 9-month pregnant lady, started walking as it was the only option left with her. Sir, she crossed around 23 kilometers. The road was fully full of rocks. She crossed two mountains and crossed small nalas and rivers in that whole dense forested way. And after that, she reached to that PHC Lahiri, which was 23 kilometers far. From there, she was taken to another hospital for her delivery, which was 15 kilometers again far. And after 3 days of after her delivery, she got discharged and she traveled the same distance of 23 kilometers by walking with her newly born baby. So,
my God. So, I just want to just repeat for the viewers' sake. She walked 23 kilometers after she went into labor. That's when she could get some primary medical care. And after she delivered her baby, she within 3 days, she walked 23 kilometers back.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes, yes, sir. So in the in that same month, the 4-month pregnant woman also died due to the same reason, as she can't reach the hospital due to disconnection. So here we can see how the woman in the Abujamrad region have to face these issues. So we filed the complaint before Human Rights Commission. The Human Rights Commission summoned the collector to submit the report of the incident, but I found many flaws in the report and I personally decided to go to that region. I was aware that this journey is not going to be very easy. For that 23 kilometer which was crossed by the woman, it takes 3 to 4 hours for me to reach by my bike on first gear, where I covered half of the distance by walking itself. The people were shocked when I reached their village by my bike. I faced much trouble, but I couldn't imagine the trouble faced by that woman. So in that period, I was inquired by Naxalites also. So overall, I collected the first-hand information and submitted the report again to Human Rights Commission in the hearing and raised another issues that this woman have been kept deprived from their already existed compensation scheme. And the hospital in the region are on just paper, but there is no existence of a structure. The hospital which I mentioned, which was 23 kilometers far, it is PHC Lahiri. Under that PHC, there are 9 sub-centers, out of which 2 don't even have the buildings. And another 7 don't have the doctors. The posts are still vacant. So, hearing over this submission, now in last month only, the State Human Rights Commission has given order to Divisional Commissioner of Nagpur to make a survey and make detailed report of the issues being faced by the women. We hope that we will get some positive outcome, but if still we get an unsatisfactory result from SHRC, we will definitely approach to High Court. Sir, lastly, I would like to quote Ambedkar that Dr. Ambedkar said that I measure the progress of community with the degree of progress women have achieved. So if the women in my country have to face such issues in 21st century, how can we say that we are progress or we are progressing?
Absolutely. How has the COVID-19 pandemic affected your respective regions? Deepak, maybe you can go first and then Bodhi, you can follow.
Okay. Sir, this unprecedented pandemic adversely affected to tribals, daily wagers, students and agriculturists. Due to lack of health facilities, many people died here due to non-availability of beds, ventilators and oxygen in hospitals. During first wave, we distributed food kits to nearly 1,400 tribal families. We got funds through some of organization. But this year, second wave creates so much panic. The situation is getting worse day by day. No one comes out of their home to help these poor people. Everything is closed. Now, question remains how daily wages can survive. On the one hand, government says agriculturists can sell their vegetables. But on the other hand, they said markets will remain closed. If it goes like this, then people may die here not due to COVID, but due to hunger. Majority of population belongs to below poverty line. We need to take collective step to survive these people. Even students are facing many problems due to lack of internet connectivity. There are lots of hurdles in their education also. I think this pandemic affected adversely to this area.
Bodhi?
So, the pandemic has affected the use and sale of the forest produces. So, जैसे कि गढ़चिरौली में महुआ तेंदुआ और बांबू का ज्यादा पैमाने पर उत्पादन होता है तो पर इस लॉकडाउन के चलते महुआ का जो संकलन होता है उस पर बहुत ज्यादा प्रभाव इस बार पड़ा है. जो लोग बाहर जाकर महुआ संकलन करते थे या फिर जमा करते थे और उसके माध्यम से जो उन्हें जो पैसा मिलता था वो इस दौरान पूरी तरह से बंद हो गया. और दूसरी बात हम देखेंगे कि तेंदू पत्ता का भी बहुत बड़ा व्यापार गढ़चिरौली में होता है. एक हाई क्वालिटी तेंदू गढ़चिरौली में मिलता है तो तेंदू पत्ता तोड़ने के लिए गढ़चिरौली के साथ साथ बाहर जिले के भी राज्य के भी लोग यहाँ पर आते हैं. पर इस जो एक दो महीने चलने वाला ये जो तेंदू का सीजन है उसमें करोड़ों का व्यापार होता था पर और कम दिनों में लोगों को बहुत ज्यादा पैसा इस माध्यम से मिलता था. पर लॉकडाउन के चलते जो ठेकेदार होते हैं वो नहीं पहुंच पाए गढ़चिरौली में तो इसी वजह से लोगों पर भी इसका बहुत प्रभाव पड़ा है. और तेंदू के साथ साथ हाई क्वालिटी बांबू भी गढ़चिरौली में अवेलेबल है तो ग्राम सभाओं के माध्यम से हर साल इसका लीलाव होता है. पर ये जो लॉकडाउन की वजह से इस पर भी बहुत बड़ा प्रभाव पड़ा है. और जैसे बाकी पूरे देश में हम देखें तो जो डेली वेजर्स और छोटे व्यापारी है जिनको जो फेस करना पड़ा वही गढ़चिरौली में भी फेस उन लोगों को करना पड़ा. और एक मेन इशू था सर कि गढ़चिरौली से बड़े पैमाने पर लोग तेलंगाना या आंध्र प्रदेश राज्य में वो मिर्च तोड़ने के लिए जाते हैं तो ये पूरा सीजन 3 से 4 महीने तक चलता है और उसमें बहुत ज्यादा मुनाफा वो लोग कमाते हैं. तो जो प्रायर नोटिस न देते जो लॉकडाउन देश में लगाया गया था तो गढ़चिरौली में जो ये मजदूर है जो मिर्च तोड़ने वाला मजदूर है उन पर बहुत ज्यादा प्रभाव पड़ा है. वो अपने बच्चों को छोड़कर जाते हैं तो उस समय कई महीने वो वहां पर लटक गए थे और कई लोगों को वहां पे उनके खाने पीने का भी ठीक में व्यवस्था नहीं हो पाई थी और कई लोग फिर उस समय चलते हुए गढ़चिरौली वापस आ गए थे. और इस दौरान ऐसे एक माहौल तैयार भी हुआ था कि इन मजदूरों की वजह से कोरोना का फैलाव ज्यादा हो रहा है और उस समय इन लोगों को एक डिस्क्रिमिनेटरी बिहेवियर भी उनके साथ होते हुए हमने देखा है. और दूसरी बात रही सर ये मजदूरों के बारे में और दूसरी बात हम एजुकेशन सेक्टर भी देखें तो जैसे ही पैंडेमिक आया स्कूल बंद हो गए तो पूरे देश में ऑनलाइन शिक्षा का माहौल शुरू हो गया. ऑनलाइन शिक्षा शुरू हो गई पर जैसे मैंने पहले ही बताया कि यहाँ पर इंटरनेट का इशू है तो इसकी वजह से जो ऑनलाइन एजुकेशन का भी फायदा बच्चे नहीं उठा पाए. कई लोगों के पास मोबाइल है पर मोबाइल नेटवर्क नहीं होने के कारण वो कुछ ज्वाइन नहीं हो पाए इसका फायदा नहीं उठा पाए. और जो पुणे यूनिवर्सिटी हो या अलग अलग यूनिवर्सिटी में जो गढ़चिरौली के बच्चे पढ़ते हैं उनके जब एग्जाम्स हुए थे वो एग्जाम्स देने के लिए भी लोगों को बहुत बड़ी तकलीफ उनको झेलनी पड़ी. तो ओवरऑल हर सेक्टर पर इस पैंडमिक का प्रभाव पड़ा है ऐसे मुझे लगता है.
बिल्कुल, ज्यादातर लोगों को पता नहीं है कि गांवों में जो इम्पैक्ट हुआ है COVID-19 का वो क्या है और कितना सीवियर है, वो ज्यादातर लोगों को पता नहीं है. सो इट्स अ वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट पॉइंट दैट यू हैव रेज्ड. बोधी, टेल अस आल्सो अबाउट द प्रैक्टिस ऑफ कुर्मा इन दिस रीजन अमंग ट्राइबल्स एंड व्हाट आर द रिपरकशंस ऑफ इट, और डिड पाथ ट्राई टू टैकल दिस सिचुएशन एंड व्हाट हैपेंड इफ इट डिड.
ओके सर. So I think even in this 21st century, the shame and stigma and misconception allied with this menstruation prevails across different part of world. So various culture imposes the such unfair obligations upon such menstruating women. The most threatening practice during period, I think, is to shun girls and women from their homes. So kurma is among such customs. It is mostly practiced among the Gond and Madia tribes of Gadchiroli. Women on periods are considered impure, and so they are forced to live in Kurmaghar, that is period hut, which is mostly situated outside the village border. So it is the house with no proper ventilation. The condition of the hut is also very unsanitary. There is no proper roof. As it is a mud house, there is no proper roof, doors, electricity, beds, washroom, and any water facilities and other basic facilities. And also during the period, the women are not, they are prohibited to walk on the public or main street of the village. They are not even allowed to enter in the home, their own home, for any reason. They are not allowed to participate in any function. Means absolute untouchability is practiced with that woman. So this affect their right to good health, right to education, because many of these school going girls have to miss their school during this period, and other rights like right to water and sanitation all also get infringed during this period. So to understand this practice, I along with my friend conducted a survey with such villagers. Initially, they didn't agree to talk with us about menstruation, but later they agreed. But what we found in the survey that they don't know the scientific process of menstruation or the reason behind the menstruation. When we ask about the menstruation, they said it caused purity pollution or some bad element flow out of the body during the period, and many other things. Also, there is a misconception that opposing this traditional rule of kurma will result into death or health issues to the family members. So if someone tries to break this rule, they got punished and have to pay the penalty also. So sir, every year the menstruating women and girls who are living in Kurmaghar died, and during rainy season also they have to face many issues, and there are many cases of snake bite during the rainy season. So while talking with some of the tribal activists and tribal friends, they said that this might have started with good motive, as the tribal society is matriarchal. But in the process of Sanskritization, this custom may have take some different angles. So for this situation of practice, I didn't blame tribal at all, because they are practicing it because we failed to educate them about the scientific process and reason behind that. So to understand what government is doing, I filed an RTI to tribal department of Gadchiroli and Bhamragad. So I found a very shocking result. From Department of Gadchiroli, in duration of 2016 to 2020, only one program was framed with funding of just 1 lakh rupees to eradicate this practice. And under the Bhamragad department, no program was run by government to eradicate the practice. So with all these findings, we approached the Human Rights Commission and demanded that the men-centric awareness program should be run, because overall men has the control over such custom and practice, and separate program should be framed to eradicate such practice instead of giving this responsibility to healthcare workers. Also, when I say the eradication of practice, it means to educate them. We can see, sir, in Nepal also there is a similar custom, but the Nepal government has penalized it. But I think it is not a correct way, as it is deeply rooted custom, so it can't be changed in a year or two. So there is a need of continuous awareness and education related to the same. Now, one issue is that state is promoting building of new Kurmagar with all such facilities. But I think it can't be the good option for eradication because this permanent and well-equipped structure will responsible to pass on this practice for many years. So the state with national and international organization should work on this issue on priority basis. Otherwise, state itself will responsible for violation of such human right of tribal women.
Absolutely. Deepak, let me come to you now. Let's talk about Chandrapur. What is the problem faced by contractual health workers there and how did that impact the people?
Sir, around 500 contractual health workers of Government Medical College and Hospital Chandrapur are staying there, agitating before district collectorate with their families from last 3 months. There was a contract between the labor contractors and Dean of Medical College and Hospital Chandrapur to the effect that the said labor contractor will provide monthly wages to contractual health workers on or before the fifth day of every month. And aforesaid contractors give monthly payment of wages for 4 months. Later, the contractor stopped paying wages to the said health worker. Said, sir, due to which, as a principal employer, government gives wages to the said health workers for 2 months. However, for the last 7-8 months, the contractors and government both are not paying any wages to said health workers. Ironically, government officers felicitated them as COVID warriors, and on the other hand, they failed to pay wages to these warriors. Health workers are deprived of their livelihood by non-payment of wages for more than 7-8 months, sir.
Right in the middle of the pandemic and while working to save people from the virus.
Yeah, sir. It is pertinent to mention here that, sir, in March 2020, when nationwide lockdown due to the COVID-19 pandemic came in force, the said health workers work in highly sensitive government hospital of Chandrapur. Government should give them awards. And on the other hand, they are not paying their wages for last 7-8 months. Due to non-payment of wages for more than 7-8 months, the health workers are deprived of their livelihood. Shockingly, two health workers are died due to stress and tension of their family. They are facing mental trauma in this situation. Honorable Supreme Court observed that the five states, that Delhi, Maharashtra, Punjab, Tripura, and Karnataka, have not paid the salaries to the doctors and health workers on time to the satisfaction. Sir, the Supreme Court directed the government authorities to pay the salaries of COVID warriors on time. Furthermore, to obey this direction, in January 2021, the District Collectorate of Chandrapur ensured the said health workers will get their wages as early as possible. They are demanding minimum wages as per Minimum Wages Act. They constantly put forth their demands, but authorities turned a blind eye towards them. Two of them died due to starvation and stress. Now, as health workers are agitating for payment, there is a lack of workers to work in COVID centers of government medical hospitals. It adversely affects the health system of the district. Due to the economic exploitation, we decided to fight the legal battle against the concerned government authorities, such as Labor Commissioner, Dean of Medical College and Hospital Chandrapur, and District Collectorate.
So what is there? Is that legal battle still on or is it already been ruled upon?
Yeah, sir. We started legal battle. We believe that law can be used as instrument of social change. I would like to cite one example in brief. A farmer, Dharma Patil, committed suicide in Mantralaya, Mumbai due to discriminatory compensation allocation of his agricultural land. We filed complaint before State Human Rights Commission and demanded fair compensation to his legal heir and inquiry against concerned government officials. State Human Rights Commission constituted a committee headed by retired judge and gave several recommendations to the government. Sir, so there are commissions that can be used effectively to ensure human rights. I strongly believe that law can play auxiliary role to ensure the human rights and dignity of the individual. I met those health workers at the place of their agitation. After listening to their problem, I suggested
that they could start a legal battle along with these protests to raise their voice. Sir, with their consent, we filed a complaint against Assistant Labor Commissioner, Dean of Medical College and Hospital, Chandrapur, before the State Human Rights Commission for non-payment of wages of these health workers. Along with this written complaint, health workers give handwritten affidavit and requisite documents to the State Human Rights Commission. The State Human Rights Commission took serious cognizance and issued notices to concerned authorities and asked them to file a reply. Sir, we urge State Human Rights Commission to establish a fact-finding committee on this issue and recommend the concerned authorities to disperse the payment of these health workers on priority basis. If we couldn't get any solution, then we decide to approach the apex court, that is High Court, to ensure and protect the human rights, that the duly payment of minimum wages of these health workers are their basic right, and we will fight this legal battle.
Absolutely. Deepak, malnutrition is also a big problem among children in Chandrapur, and it manifests itself in various ways. One of those ways is stunting. Tell us what is happening there and how can things be turned around?
Yes, sir. Sir, there are various government schemes to eradicate malnutrition, but implementation is a malady. Last year, there are more than 18,000 child deaths caused in Maharashtra. And one of the reasons for this child death is malnutrition. Gadchiroli and Chandrapur are tribal-dominated areas, and many children died here due to this grievous problem of malnutrition. Once, James Grant from UNICEF asked an African child during his visit that, "What is your dream when you grow up?" Sir, he stunned for a minute and replied, "He have a dream to live until he grows up." The same situation, sir, the same situation you can see in the remote areas of Chandrapur and Gadchiroli district. The majority of the population comes under below poverty line. Due to poverty, they are deprived of a nutritious diet. Malnutrition is found to be highly prevalent among the children, being severe to moderately underweight. Poor nutrition is one of the reasons for this problem. We chose tribal-dominated Korpana Tehsil of Chandrapur district. Means we chose one of the Tehsil of Chandrapur district. I met the child development officer of that Tehsil and asked them to provide the data of malnutrition children. Maybe statistics are suppressed, but we rely on their data. We take permission from concerned government authorities and start an initiative to provide nutritious kits to malnutrition children of Tehsil. Sir, we visited nearly 35 villages of Tehsil, conducted an awareness program on malnutrition, and provided a nutritious kit containing pulses, cereals, and other essential nutrients to them. When I learned from our initiative that people are not aware of malnutrition and its causes, some of them could not afford nutritious food due to their poverty, and if mother and father are agriculturalists, then they might not get time to pay attention towards their child. We urge village panchayats to provide special attention to families having malnutrition children by providing necessary diet to them. Sir, we helped 60 malnutrition children to overcome this problem in last year. Awareness among the people was our primary concern in that initiative. We create initiative to aware the people. Lots of work for malnutrition children are needed in the Chandrapur and Gadchiroli district. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with first step. So we take the first step towards it. Many people help us voluntarily. Now we need funds to continue this work. Sir, Bodhi and I, along with like-minded friends, registered an organization called Path Foundation, and decided to work on several social, legal, and medical issues of deprived sections of these societies. To things around, it is required to take the collective step for eradication of malnutrition. Those can give money, they can donate for this noble cause. Those who can work here can come and join with us in this noble initiative. And if anyone would like to work independently, then it is highly appreciable. We can help them, sir.
Bodhi and Deepak, thanks so much for coming on the show and telling us about what's happening in our tribal regions and also how the constitution can be a tool of transformation.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you so much, sir. The people hearing can join us on Facebook or Instagram page. We will be happy to answer their more questions. And if they are ready to contribute in our this work, they can do that. Thank you so much, sir, for this very opportunity.
Thank you all for listening. Please visit allindiansmatter.in, that's allindiansmatter.in, for more columns and audio podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at Ashraf Engineer, that's ASHRAFENGINER, and All Indians Count, that's ALLINDIANSCOUNT. Search for the All Indians Matter page on Facebook. On Instagram, the handle is All Indians Matter. Email me at editor@allindiansmatter.in. Catch you again soon.